Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay and have an extra long Easter weekend ahead of you. Thank you ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Thursday, the 2nd of April. Lots of news for you today, including a mum who bought her home in what she thought was a blissful green garden but says it's turned into a living hell.
Even yesterday, the building work was so strong that the walls in my bedroom were shaking, my TV was just hitting the wall.
Tall ships dock in Ramsgate as part of an expedition for veterans ahead of the Invictus Games.
You're going to port on a big wooden boat and people's eyes light up and it's brilliant. You go in with two and some different magic happens.
And in cricket, Ken's County Championship campaign gets underway tomorrow.
Identified quite a lot of issues and things that we needed to fix. I feel like over the winter we've fixed quite a few of those.
All of that still to come, but let's take a look at what's been one of the most read stories on the website today. A domestic abuser who threatened to kill the mother of his three children and burn her family's house down has been jailed. 33-year-old Martin Creed, who lives in Musgrave Road, admitted to the abuse in a caravan on Sheppey. Now, there's quite a lot to this story, so I've got Joe Crossley with me. Joe's been covering this story for Kent Online. First of all, Joe, can you give us a little bit of background about Martin and the relationship that he had with his victim?
So Creed and his victim had been together for 8 years. They had three children, one aged six, one aged four, and one aged one. In the last 3 years of her relationship with Creed, the victim had become isolated from her family. And in May, when things sort of came to a head, that is when she sort of saw her family again and made indications that she wanted to kind of contact them again and be part of them again.
And we do know that he launched a very vicious attack last May. Can you give us some more details?
So on May the 9th, she was in East Church with two of her children and she bumped into her father and her son. He told me how she and the children looked like they were starving, were dirty and had lice on them. He gave her £50 to go get some food and said, look, just meet your mother. She tells Creed on May the 11th, so 2 days later, that she was going to meet her mother the next day on May the 12th. And that's when Creed's horrific assault took place in the caravan at Sherland Dale Holiday Park in East Church. In the assault, he tells her that over my dead body, are you going to see your mother tomorrow? He then subjects her to a really awful assault, slapping her, pulling her by her hair so that with such force that she had bald patches. It should also be noted that during the assault, all three of the children that were in the caravan, so they witnessed that assault and the horrid nature of it.
And during the attack, he did also threaten to burn the caravan down.
Yes, so not only did he threaten to kill the victim, he threatened to burn down the caravan that the three children were in and also burn down her family's house as well.
Now, he's appeared in court and you've been there to cover it. Can you tell us a little bit about the sentencing?
Yes, so the court proceedings were sort of ongoing. I went along on Friday to the sentencing. He was supposed to stand trial. He was originally not going to plead guilty to some of the charges. So he was charged on three counts. On the first day of his trial, he then pled guilty to all three of them, which meant that the victim had to go along originally to that trial date. So then he was sentenced on Friday, as I've just said, and handed 2 years and 2 months in jail. But he's been in jail for quite a long time already, and he only needs to serve 40% of that time, which means, as of recording today, that he's only got 20 days left in prison.
That just must be heartbreaking for the family. Can you give me some of their reaction?
I spoke to the father before the sentencing. He wanted us to cover this because he wanted the story out there so that, in his words, that another woman wouldn't be subjected to the abuse that his daughter had been through. He then spoke to me after the sentencing and said that basically the sentence wasn't tough enough and that he felt that the justice system is broken, basically, and that, you know, someone who's done such a horrific crime shouldn't be out in the streets after 20 days after sentencing. Of course, we need to caveat the fact that he has already done most of the sentence already because he's been in custody before. But from their perspective, it wasn't a tough enough sentence and that they don't feel that justice has been served.
Thanks so much, Joe. You can read more about this story by clicking on the story at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
A campaign group is calling for safe and legal routes for asylum seekers into the UK after the deaths of two people in the Channel. The French Coast Guard say two people were pulled from the water while trying to make the journey to Kent yesterday morning. Care for Calais say the legal routes would save lives. It comes after the government agreed an extension to a border deal with France, which sees officers patrolling beaches. A man accused of murdering a woman in Dover has appeared in court. 64-year-old Oji Izu was found dead following reports of an attack at a house in Khartoum Square in Whitfield on Sunday. Her son, Joshua Izu, who's 32 and from the same road, was arrested at the scene and later charged. Reporter Brad Harper has been at court.
The next hearing was set for April the 28th at Canterbury Crown Court, and a trial date has been listed to start on November the 2nd. No application was made for bail and Izu was remanded into custody.
Two London men have been arrested after hundreds of pounds worth of watches were stolen in Sevenoaks. Police were called to a business in Edenbridge High Street on Tuesday morning. A car believed to be linked to the theft was later tracked down in Sunridge. The 55 and 30-year-olds have been released on bail. A man is appearing in court after police uncovered a cannabis factory in Dartford. Officers carried out a search of the property in Sayer Close in Greenhithe last Friday and found more than 70 plants along with growing equipment. The 33-year-old was arrested at the scene. He'll remain in custody until another court appearance next month. A man who was involved in recruiting lorry drivers to help smuggle people between Dover and Calais has been locked up. The Romanian national was arrested in Folkestone last November after being linked to 22 people found in the back of an HGV in September. The 40-year-old has been sentenced to 6 years. Two knives have been found in a taxi in Canterbury during an operation to improve safety for women and girls. They were discovered in the driver's cab and seized last Friday night. Police and council officers checked several vehicles and also carried out drug searches in the city centre. A Chatham man's been ordered to pay more than £1,300 after he was caught illegally transporting scrap metal. Billy Joe Crittenden pleaded guilty to three offences following a joint investigation by Medway Council and Kent Police. The 36-year-old from Wayfield Road had failed to get a licence or register to collect metal.
Kent Online News.
Operation Brock has come into force on the M20 ahead of the long weekend. The contraflow was installed between Maidstone and Ashford overnight to deal with any cross-channel traffic. The RAC reckon it'll be the busiest Easter getaway in 4 years. Now, South East Coast Ambulance say we should plan ahead for the Easter long weekend. SeaCam are expecting to handle more than 30,000 calls to 999 and NHS 111 services over the next 4 days. Bosses say we should make sure things like repeat prescriptions are in order and check in on vulnerable relatives. Now, this all comes as we are also being warned to expect travel disruption in Thanet across the Easter long weekend as Network Rail carry out upgrades. Crews will be working to install new tracks through Margate Station. I've been speaking to Paul Prentice, who's from Network Rail.
If you're travelling in Thanet, the advice is to please check before you travel, as some journey times may take a little bit longer. So, for example, if you're going up to Margate and Broadstairs, heading to the coast for the Easter holiday weekend, you'll need to check before you travel. We're doing some work in the area where we're replacing track in Margate that's needing to be replaced so that the track can be upgraded. And we're also going to be doing some major work on a bridge in Broadstairs where we're going to be replacing one of the steel beams underneath the bridge so that trains can continue to run across it. And that means that journey times will take longer. It means that people may need to take a replacement bus. But the good news is, if you're travelling to Margate from, say, the west of Kent or from Canterbury, you'll be able to run through to Ramsgate. And Broadstairs, for example, is just 10 minutes up the line on a replacement bus. That means we can keep people moving and the economy remains open for business.
And is the disruption expected across all 4 days? So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, so the entirety of the bank holiday weekend?
Yeah, so the planned engineering work will take place starting on Good Friday, the 3rd of April. We'll actually be running our Saturday timetable across the entire network on that day. Its buses replacing trains between Herne Bay and Ramsgate on all 4 days of the long weekend. There's other work taking place where buses replace trains between Orpington and Tunbridge on Saturday. And there's more work taking place on Easter Sunday, again between Orpington and Tunbridge, between Ashford and Dover, and in the other part of our network in southeast London. So the advice is please to check before you travel and plan your journey in advance.
Now, you mentioned just now, you know, projects like this, you know, are often planned a year in advance. Is there any particular reason why you would plan to do it over a bank holiday long weekend? What's the benefits of doing it now?
So the reason we do this work over a long bank holiday weekend is that fewer people are travelling. Around half or fewer than half of people who would normally travel will be travelling on our network. So we know there's never a good time to shut the railway. We really understand that. But we're using the best opportunity we can to do the work we need to. We need to plan work well in advance, as I said. We need to book in the engineers and the teams and the equipment that we need to do the work. And sometimes that equipment can come from all over the country. So we have to book and plan this in advance. And we have to do it at a time where it's least disruptive, while recognising there is never an ideal time. And the emphasis is on getting as many people moving as possible.
Bosses in Swale have approved a new scheme to help prevent homelessness and support local people facing crisis. Short-term payments will help some people cover the difference between their benefits and the cost of affordable housing. Councils say it will help reduce the risk of poverty and safeguard residents. Now, a Kent mum who bought her first property in what she thought was a green escape says it's turned into a living hell due to ongoing construction. Jodie Weston says the reality of living in Ebbsfleet Garden City is horrendous, with a building perimeter fence put up right outside her front door. She's told reporter Ellie Hodgson she's stuck in an impossible situation.
Even yesterday, the building work was so strong that the walls in my bedroom were shaking. My TV was just hitting the wall like this. I even saw a crack forming below on the bottom of the wall. And it was just like, I can't go on like this. And they've told me that the perimeter is going to be up for 2 years. So it's just, I just want to get out of this situation. It's like a claustrophobic feeling of like, I just want to get out. And like, you come home, your home is supposed to be your sanctuary, your safe space. You know, I've had my windscreen cracked because of the construction trucks when they don't stop turning their sweepers whilst they're passing moving vehicles. So I've had stones fly up and hit my windscreen and crack it. I've had punctured tires. My car is constantly filthy. Even if I go and try and cheer myself up with a car wash, within a few hours, it's just pointless. And it just makes you feel rubbish. It's like, I can't even go and get a car wash to make myself feel better. I can't come home to make myself feel better because I'm living in it. And it's just awful.
What would you like them to do? And have you complained?
I have complained, and I've been complaining for months and just asking for help. Realistically, I do feel like I was missold my property by West Kent. So in these circumstances, I would like them to just buy back my share of the property because I just want out. You know, knowing there's going to be a building perimeter right up against my son's window for the next 2 years, it's just horrible. If I was going to have any more children in the future, I feel like I'm never going to be able to sell this property for at least the next few years, because no one in their right mind is going to buy a property where there's no parking. You get a £100 fine for parking on the main road. You've got to park 15 minutes walk. You've got a young child. Most people around here have young children. It's just impractical. You know, in a few years when Ebbsfleet Garden City's finished, it's probably going to be amazing. But right now we've got to live here day by day. I don't believe the emergency services can reach my front door anymore because people are just parking anywhere because they're just desperate not to get a fine on the main road. The bin men can't even collect rubbish anymore because there's always cars blocking the bin room. It's just like, it's unlivable. It, you know, it's my first home. I was saving for 10 years to be able to afford something. I could only afford a shared ownership property because that's the life of a freelancer. But I bought it in cash. So it was cash that I'd saved up for years and years and years. And it's just feeling like all these years of me saving, you know, as a freelancer where it's really hard to get a mortgage, it's just gone down the drain.
And even if they do buy back your property, there might be some time you're having to live here.
Yeah.
What do you want them to do? Do you want them to get rid of the parking restrictions for the meantime, so they're less of an issue?
I think people just have to have a heart for us. You know, we're in an impossible situation. You know, they've put a perimeter up against a residential road that's right by my front door where you used to be able to park, or at least you could have your shopping delivered. You'd be able to use it as a road, which is what it's written down as on the plans. So it's just to have a heart, you know. I spoke to the MPC company yesterday who are issuing the fines, and they said they have got no plans to stop fining people. And even I had a fine a few weeks ago where I wasn't on the main road, and I've had to argue for weeks and weeks and be like, look, I wasn't even on the main road. They're like, we'll let you go this time, but never again. So it's just feeling like you're trapped, you know. And there's people here that have got like £1,000 worth of parking fines. So that's more than like, that's more than your service charge, more than the rent you're paying on the other part of your share. So it's just a nightmare.
West Kent owns and manages some of the properties. They say they'll push for improvements around parking and the impact of building work.
Kent Online News.
There's going to be a two-part factual drama on the death of Sarah Everard. She was killed by then-serving Met Police Officer Wayne Cousins from Deal while walking home from a friend's house in 2021. He's serving a whole life sentence. The new BBC drama will look at the circumstances which led to her death. Kent vets have welcomed the findings of an investigation into the industry after pet owners reported struggling to pay bills and overpaying for medicines. The Competition and Markets Authority have set out new reforms, which would include publishing price lists, capping prescription fees and advertising ownership. Practice owners across the county say the changes will lead to greater transparency. Planning permission has been granted for a new visitor centre as part of the expansion of Quex Park in Birchington. Existing buildings will be demolished to make space for the two-storey hub, which will include a ticket area, retail space and cafe. The historic country estate already offers play areas, animal encounters and paintball. Now, two tall ships have sailed into Ramsgate as part of an expedition for veterans ahead of the Invictus Games. The international event uses competitive sport to support the rehabilitation of service personnel. The ships are being crewed by a team of 70 wounded, injured and sick veterans who are sailing 2,000 miles around the UK, transporting the Invictus Games flag to 22 ports. Dan Fielding is Chief Operating Officer at charity Turn to Starboard, who are coordinating the voyage. He's been speaking to Lucy.
2,000 miles, we've got 22 stops, now becoming 23, because we might be stopping in another area. Someone's asked us to come in, but we'll throw that out once it's all confirmed. So it's really building momentum and people are seeing us. But the boats that we're taking out, so the two, we've got Spirit of Falmouth, that's our own boat. We've had that since the back end of 2014. She's a Mersey pilot schooner, which will mean something to some people and not to others. Basically, we act like pirates because it's a wooden boat with a gaff rig. It's very stable at sea. It's a great boat to be on board. And then also joining us is Pelu, which is another pilot boat, but a pilot cutter. And she's a wooden boat built by Luke Powell and his team, built 6 years ago. So she's absolutely beautiful. She sails really, really well, very stable. And both the boats, what happens is you go into port on a big wooden boat and people's eyes light up and it's brilliant. You go in with two and some different magic happens. It's amazing to see two boats sailing together and sailing in together. It's quite a spectacle. But for us, what these boats do is offer a platform where multiple people can come together. So instead of going out, we've got five yachts too, but instead of going out in threes and fours, this time we can go out at Spirit, we can take 18 people. Maximum and Pelo's up to 15. So when you can get a lot of people together working as a team, enjoying each other's company, doing different things, and everyone sort of gets their little specialities. You know, some people like being in the galley and making sure that everyone's fed and watered, and then other people are really into the nav or the sailing side of it. So everyone sort of finds their place, but it's a really good place to get many veterans together and start working again as a team, finding the purpose and then go forward and do it and just enjoy it. You see people's faces, like from the first day that they set off, which was pretty hairy, pretty bouncy, and a lot of them had never sailed. And it was a bit of a punch up to Plymouth, and a few wobbly legs and a few people were a little bit ill of the old mal de mer. But after that, I saw them up in Plymouth, and then as they left to go to Weymouth, and then the sail from Weymouth to Portsmouth, well, that was a hairy sail, but they've all got the sea legs and they all know what they're doing, and yeah, just the face is just beaming. So yeah, it's a really good platform for that, and just being part of it again.
That sounds brilliant. And you're coming into Ramsgate a little bit earlier than planned, but you're going to be there for a few days. Is that still the case? And running sort of some local events as well?
Yeah, that's still the case. So yeah, the slip line's a little bit early for a weather window, and they've got there today. Spirit's just got in, and Pelu will be coming in a little bit later than Spirit, just because they stopped off at Felixstowe and anchored a little bit. Spirit had, you'll probably see, people saw Spirit go back into Portsmouth if they look on the yellow brick tracker. One of our crew injured the hand, so that's why they had to take him back in to go and make sure that he's okay. Went to A&E, everything's all fine, but that's why they went back in, so no one needs to worry about why. But yeah, they made it to Ramsgate this morning, and hung off for a little while. But yeah, the events are going on as usual, as programmed, in Ramsgate, so people get down to see the vessels, meet the crews, and enjoy the company that everyone has.
After Ramsgate, the first leg of the journey will come to an end at Chatham Docks.
Kent Online News.
A new pub has opened up at the site of a former Lloyds Bank branch in Faversham. It's called The Bank and serves Kentish craft beer from the local Time and Tide Brewery. Bosses say since opening in Court Street, they've already had a positive reception from residents. A new childcare centre has opened in Dartford at the site of a former nursery, which was closed by Ofsted. Kiddie Care Daycare and Preschool has moved into premises in Southfleet Avenue in Newbarn. They take over from Abacus Nursery, which was shut after the watchdog said they believe children may be at risk of harm. Restoration work to an iconic Kent landmark has split public opinion, with some slamming the bling makeover. The Christchurch Gate at the entrance of Canterbury Cathedral has a colourful new look after more than 10 years of work. Some heritage experts say it's splendid, while others say it looks like bubblegum. You can see pictures by following Kent Online on socials. Now, we've been told 30,000 items have been donated to a reuse shop in Kent just 6 months after it opened. The facility in Allington is designed to reduce the amount of household goods ending up in landfill. The County Council say 20,000 people have visited and more than 8,000 have made purchases, with 86 tonnes of items finding a new home.
Kent Online Sports.
Let's take a look at cricket first up, and Kent are preparing to get their county championship campaign underway this long weekend. They're travelling north to take on Durham in Division 2. Last season came to a disappointing end, with Kent at the bottom of the table. Head coach Adam Holyoake has been chatting to reporter Tom Reeves.
Looking forward to it. It's been, you know, last year was obviously my first year in the job, and obviously identified quite a lot of issues and things that we needed to fix. I feel like over the winter we've fixed quite a few of those. We've definitely improved the squad, and we've 100% improved the coaching staff. So, you know, we're in a very different position to where we were at this stage last year. So, obviously, we still have to go there and do the job. All that stuff's on paper. So, what counts is when the games start and the results start coming in.
Mm. Talk me through your new coaching staff. You've had a bit of a change around with that.
Yeah, so, you know, we've had last year I only really had a bowling coach. So, this year we've got Jahid Ali, who's the lead batting coach. He's come in, he's got a good pedigree from Pakistan, and he's done a great job with the guys over the winter. And then the bowling, we've got the Kent legends, Darren Stevens and Sam Faulkner, are going to pair up to do that. Steve-O's coming in and doing 70 days a year with us, so gets a couple of sessions a week in with the boys during the summer, and he's having him around the group's been great as well. And then Sam's going to be with us every single day, so just facilitating Steve-O's ideas. So it's been good having an extra set of hands around training as well, not doing everything on my own.
Yeah, was that kind of a bit of an eye-opener, I suppose, last year? Kind of, I suppose, your first gig as head coach, isn't it? County cricket.
Yeah, first gig in county cricket, but yeah, it was definitely an eye-opener. I got to, I think, June and July, and I was like, wow, this is going to be a long summer. But I'm glad, I'm really proud of the way that, you know, Simon Cook's stayed strong, and he's put together some, you know, we stayed solid and got it sorted out. So, you know, I feel like we've got the right guys in the right places, and, you know, the playing staff will have, the starting team will have, you know, four or five different new faces in it. So, you know, Sam Northeast and Matt Milnes, they're almost like overseas standard players themselves. And then we've got the three new overseas players. So That's going to be a very different looking side.
Play gets underway tomorrow at 11. Football now, and Arsenal have taken another step towards defending their Women's Champions League title. They knocked out Chelsea to reach the semi-finals, winning 3-2 on aggregate despite losing the second leg 1-0 at Stamford Bridge. Kent's Alessia Russo had a few good chances but failed to score. Staying with football, and Gillingham manager Gareth Ainsworth has set a points target for his team as we approach the end of the season. They're taking on Walsall and Accrington Stanley over the long Easter weekend after a series of disappointing results. Gareth Ainsworth spoke to the club's media team ahead of tomorrow's clash away at Walsall.
We're in a pretty tough position, and it's like to be, it happens at football clubs. I want to see people who are going to dig deep. I want to see people who are going to raise their standards and find a way. Because there's no giving up in me, ever. You know, I wish, like I said the other day, I wish I could be out there with them, because I know I'd scrap and give every last bit of blood, sweat and tears to get the result, you know, and I need players like that. We've got some pretty tough moments going on, and that's football, you know, get on with it. But I want people to get to my standard. I need to drag them to my standard of play, my standard of defending, attacking and playing, and I'll do all I can to make that happen, but it hasn't been good enough, and I totally understand how the reaction of fans sometimes can be, tough one to take.
The boss wants them to try and beat last year's total of 58 points. They're currently on 39 with 7 games to go. That's all from us today and for the week. Thank you ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads, no pop-ups and exclusive stories. You can choose a subscription plan that works best for you. For more details, head to kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.